Welcome, everyone, to Moxie Bets presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox, and coming up on today's show, we will be joined by the Action Network's fantasy analyst, Samantha Previti, for an NFL fantasy preview. We'll do a team snapshot at the Carolina Panthers now that they've acquired Baker Mayfield. Is it worth putting money on Baker, the Panthers, or Christian McCaffrey? And of course, I'm going to give you my Mox Locks. All right, but first, let's kick things off with the Mox Thought of the Day. We begin with the big NFL news for the week. The Browns trade Baker Mayfield to the Panthers for a conditional 2024 fifth-round pick, which is stunningly low trade for Baker Mayfield. The Panthers' season win total had been at 6 before the trade, but it's moved up to 6.5. The over is set to plus 100 at even money. The under is at minus 120. So what is the smart bet here with the Panthers win total? Well, I'm not necessarily sure that there is a smart bet on this one. However, I do think it is worth to maybe put a little on the over here at 6.5 wins. So yes, the last couple of years under Matt Rhule, Carolina has finished with only 5 wins in each of those seasons, but they should have more consistency with Baker Mayfield. Last year was not his best. He was dealing with the shoulder injury and he had career low in passing yards per game and passing touchdowns. But the year previous, he had 26 touchdowns and only 8 interceptions. And I do believe he's got better weapons than he had with the Browns. He's got McCaffrey, who's arguably the best running back in the league when he is healthy. You've got DJ Moore. And of course, Mayfield is going to be a step up from Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater, Kyle Allen, whoever the XFL quarterback they had for 1 year, and even Cam Newton last year. So at even money at plus 100, I do think it's worth a play here on the over 6.5. All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app ever, and honestly, the only one you need. It's not just about the big bonuses and boosts and promos that you get. It's the fact that every time you bet, whether you win or lose, you're earning towards the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. That's because when you download the Caesars Sportsbook app, you become a Caesars Rewards member, and that means perks. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's welcome in our special guest for today, Samantha Previti from the Action Network. She is an analyst for fantasy football. Samantha, how's it going?
I'm doing so great. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I am a Panthers fan, so I'm just kind of processing all the news that happened yesterday.
Oh my God, yes. I'm so excited that you're a Panthers fan because we're definitely going to get into that today. But let's talk about you first. So you cover NFL news and you also give people, as it says on the website, data-informed advice across multiple platforms for fantasy. So talk to us about what exactly that means and what you do at the Action Network.
Sure. Yeah, I do a lot of things across lots of platforms. Like you said, a lot of it is written work. So I'm the one writing your start sit articles and your waiver wire articles and injury reports and anything like that, kind of trying to help you get a leg up on your league mates and everything like that. And then I'm, you know, on a podcast a couple times a week hosting that podcast. And I do a radio spot on KOA AM 850 every week talking about the DFS slate. So there are a lot of things. I'm a busy woman, but it's super fun. I come from this math background, so I use that math and consulting sort of background to be able to help you guys like distill all that data into insights and actionable things.
I love that. I see here that you were going to become a doctor and then you were a political consultant and now you're in fantasy football. How does that happen?
I guess I'm just really indecisive in life. I don't know. But yeah,
Thanks, sister.
I was, you know, 17. I thought I had my whole life planned out and I was like, I'm going pre-med. I'm going to go to med school. I'm going to do this residency. And then my first semester of college, I was like, no, it's not for me. So I had to make a quick pivot. I ended up getting a biology and math degree from McGill University. So I still stayed in that science track. And then I went into the political consulting world, sorry. And then after that, kind of went more towards media, but I was on the business side of media. While I was working at the New York Post as the director of analytics, I was also writing on their sports desk. And I wrote about like 700 articles for them. A lot of them, it was such a wide breadth of things. It was fantasy, but it was also like LeBron James's diet and courtside Karen and things like that. So,
those are important things to know.
Hey, those are the things that get the clicks. So no one wants to admit that they love that kind of stuff. Like people think that they're better than that, but you know what? I'm not better than that.
I'm not better than that either. I absolutely love those type of articles. Okay, so let's talk about your fandom for a second. I see you were raised in New England. You're a Panthers fan, but then you're also a Yankees fan. How did that happen?
Yeah, so I grew up in a very like sports agnostic household, just wasn't really a thing. Like my dad, the only sport he sort of cares about is baseball, and he is a Yankees fan because he's Italian and Joe DiMaggio. And that's like, it wasn't a super strong thing, I think, but at least like I grew up with a little bit of fandom for the Yankees. So they became my team. And by association, I just kind of hated everything Boston. So when it came time to choose a football team, when I started to really get into football, I was living in South Carolina at the time. And I was like, well, it's not going to be the Patriots. So figured I'd support the home team. You know, NFL is surprisingly not that big in South Carolina. I don't know if that's surprising. A lot of people know the college football landscape, but like, yeah, that's the focal point of fandom down there. But certainly there's some Panthers fans as well. And Charlotte's a gorgeous city. So I went to a couple games and everything like that. And it was fun to support them because when I really started to get into things, it was Cam Newton's good years. And it was exciting. Like you Superman. Get to watch this guy, Superman, and front flip into the end zone and be just this absolute unit. So it was a really fun time to support the Panthers. It's been a rough couple of years, not as let's just recently. Say.
But I think it's going to get better this year. I think it's hysterical that you grew up in New England and you hate all things Boston. I actually really love that about you. So let's get into this year. So you're obviously a fantasy football analyst. The NFL season is rapidly approaching and fans are preparing for their fantasy drafts. I've never won my fantasy league, so I'm going to lean on you here. As a fantasy expert, you're the first one we've had on this show. What are some tips that you can give our listeners on drafting your fantasy football team?
Yeah, of course. I mean, everyone has their sort of like 10 commandments and, you know, these are just going to be suggestions. I'm going to tell you that before the draft, that's when a lot of the magic is going to happen. First of all, like, I think that people should have their own rankings. Like, I'm not saying like go through the whole like modeling process, but maybe take someone's rankings, like someone that you pseudo trust or whatever, and then make little tweaks from there. Like, you know, if you have like a couple players between them, you can move them up and down. And I would say try to have an opinion on at least like the top 50 players. Like you don't have to know everything about them, where they played college and what their 40 time was or anything like that. But maybe have an opinion like I like this guy better than this guy. You really need to set your team allegiances aside. I can't tell you how many people I meet that are, you know, they wanna, you know, draft Tom Brady in the first round, or they are Steelers fans and they're not gonna draft any Cleveland Browns. And that will hurt you, obviously. So there's a lot of feelings that you have to just kind of set aside, especially like even not a team allegiance thing, but if, you know, a player has burned you in the past. It's certainly like something that I think that you need to really just like try to separate it, you know, because it can be a sort of emotional thing, but really you have to just look at the numbers. I would say follow a lot of beat writers, stuff that happens in camp, really, really important type stuff. I mean, obviously take it with a grain of salt. If, you know, it's a picture of a guy's quads, you know, maybe not super important, but if it looks like some guy is winning a camp battle, that's something to really take into account, especially like rookie guys, because they're the ones that might end up winning you your league, because you kind of take a chance on these guys early on. And if you think, hey, you know, they're not going to be the starter by week one, but maybe by week six, that could be a guy that could win your league. Mock drafting, super important. It is kind of like muscle memory, like just getting out there, joining some mock drafts. I would say try to do them with people you know, like actual people, because sometimes they get filled up with like bots and it's not as fun to draft against a bot. But yeah, I mean, it just kind of helps you, you know, think about how to decide on the spot and everything like that, especially if you've never done it before and are just like not familiar with like the UI of the platform. But in the draft, I would say what's really important is like have a strategy going into it, but also be willing to pivot. Because like generally, I think I know how drafts are going to go, at least for the first couple of rounds. But, you know, a guy could fall to you super late, like you have the 12th pick or something like that. And like you get a guy that falls to you at that point. Somehow Cooper Kupp falls to you at like the 12th pick.
Oh my God, you wanted to go running back
at the beginning. Like, and you know, sometimes things just like that happen and you're like, oh, well, I guess I am taking Cooper Kupp here and I'll think about running back next. So you kind of have to just be a little flexible in that sense. Manage your risk tolerance throughout the draft. That's like a kind of weird thing to think about, but like, if you go super risky on the first pick, try to get some blue chip players along the way. And then just remember that championships are not won during the draft. You can probably lose a championship in the draft, but it's probably not won there. So even if you come out of it saying my team stinks, you know, there's so much time to redeem yourself with the waiver wire and with trades and everything like that. So just keep that in mind and just have fun.
Just have fun and don't bet with your heart, which is definitely don't bet with your heart and don't draft with your heart. And everything that you just said makes so much sense, especially the mock draft. I've never done a mock draft, but to your point, you never know how things are going to slide. So doing those mock drafts will just make you so much more prepared. But how do you feel about kind of those like strategies that I see all the time where it's like load up on the running backs, don't draft a quarterback in the first round? Do you ever follow any of those kind of rules or do you just kind of see what the slate is?
Yeah, there's a couple of, I guess, strategies. If we're talking about a normal like 12-team league in a snake type format, that's generally how people draft versus auction or salary cap style. Generally, that's like there's some things like I will definitely not go quarterback early. There are advantages to taking Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes early. But I generally want to wait because some of these guys that you can get at like quarterback 12, quarterback 14, like they are good value. Someone like Derek Carr, for instance, that like, you know, now he's got these weapons and everything like that. I think that he's definitely going to be someone to keep an eye on later on. I mean, he was quarterback 13, I believe, in fantasy last season, and that was without Devontae Adams. So, that's an easy position to wait on, I think. You know, if you have a first five pick in the draft, I would say you probably are going to end up with a running back, just based on like best player available. You can do whatever you want. I mean, get your guys. If you really want to take Cooper Kupp with like the number three pick, go ahead and do that. But there's no like cardinal rules. I would say waiting on quarterback is the big one for me. Tight end is really thin this year. So that's actually a position that I would consider reaching for. There's like a pretty big drop off after, you know, the first few guys. I would say that's like Kyle Pitts, Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. Yeah. And then after that, it's pretty thin. So that's a position that I would really keep an eye on. If it looks like, you know, if your turn's coming up and there are three guys off the board, I would consider taking a tight end a little earlier than, you know, say their average draft position or where they're ranked on your like interface on ESPN or whatever you're playing on.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously love George Kittle a lot, but I wouldn't draft him necessarily in fantasy because he ends up getting injured every single season. And, but maybe that's maybe because I've been burned by him in the past. I think I went with my heart. I got him. And then he ends up getting injured and not being as productive as I thought he was going to be. Do you think that he's someone that we should look into this year? Probably not top three, but
I think he's definitely in that top tier. I mean, yeah, there's always going to be an injury risk. That's true of every player, everyone, to be clear. Like, I mean, he's always putting up production when he's on the field. And I think that those are the guys that I'd rather have versus someone that's like, oh yeah, they'll probably play 16 games, but like you're going to get a max of 8 fantasy points out of them. The thing is that when we talked about managing risk, you have George Kittle, you have to just draft another guy that's like maybe like in the tight end 12 to 16 range where you just have someone else to plug in. And, you know, like I said, after a certain point, tight end is kind of a crapshoot. So like the guys that you're getting at like tight end 16, they could easily end up as a top 10 tight end.
Okay. So who is the top fantasy pick for the 2022 NFL season? Give it to me.
Yes, it is going to be Jonathan Taylor. It is a complete slam dunk here. Yeah, yes. I mean, he was sixth overall in 2021, but RB1 over Austin Eckler in half PPR by over 50 points. Second among running backs in yards per attempt, led the league in attempts, rushing. Like he had 1,800 yards. Next closest was Nick Chubb at 1,200 yards, rushing touchdowns. He had 18 rushing touchdowns. He led the league in first downs. So that's a big one too, because that is becoming a popular kind of scoring mechanism in terms of like sometimes instead of like PPR or also in addition to PPR, sometimes you get extra points for first downs. So he had 107 first downs last year compared to the next closest was Antonio Gibson with 65. So he is just a guy that is making a huge difference on the field, and that translates into fantasy production. So Vegas obviously thinks he's a star. He's got a rushing yard over under of 1,450 and a half. So it's, that obviously doesn't even come close to what he got last year, but that would be absolutely massive.
Okay, so I'm going for Jonathan Taylor as my number one, hopefully if I can this year. And interesting what you mentioned about Nick Chubb being number two. I'm curious to see how he will be this year. Obviously no Baker Mayfield. They have Deshaun Watson, but it's likely that Deshaun might not play very much, if at all. So do you think that will affect his production at all?
I think that guys like Nick Chubb are going to be a little bit more quarterback proof, if that makes sense. I mean, he is a pure rusher. He's not a guy, especially with like Kareem Hunt, he's not a guy that's putting up a ton of passing yardage. So I think that he's someone that I'm not that concerned about quarterback wise. I mean, you could argue you could argue that because like Deshaun Watson may not start the beginning of the season but in those games, you could argue certainly that like the game script won't favor the run as much. So that's something that I would take into account, just because Nick Chubb may have fewer opportunities. But Nick Chubb as a player, I think if you can get the ball in his hands, he'll be fine.
Okay, well, let's talk about some people that you are concerned about. Is there a player who's been a star in previous years who is starting to fade? Who are you staying away from completely this season?
I'm going to give you a few, if that's okay. But yeah.
I love a few.
Sure. DK Metcalf is a really big name that obviously he has been a star, finished as wide receiver 7 and wide receiver 10 in the last two seasons, respectively. But totally new regime. I don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, I don't know who the quarterback is necessarily going to be. He probably doesn't know that either. I got to assume that that is going to impact his fantasy performance. I like him more as a more low-end wide receiver too. I think like, it's just going to be difficult for him to reach wide receiver 15 type numbers. So that's a lot of draft capital. Like that could be your wide receiver 1, and I wouldn't feel super comfortable about that. Chris Godwin at wide receiver 20. He was injured.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was injured December 19th of the 2021 season with an ACL tear and a sprained MCL. Recovery time probably puts him in October. yeah, I think that's not even a conservative estimate, but yeah, finishes wide receiver 17 and with 14 games played, just really hasn't hit his peak since he finished as the wide receiver 2 in 2019. So he's a guy that I'm a little concerned yeah. about. Love Mike Evans, by the way, on the other side of things. Yeah. And then the last one I'm going to give you is a tight end that is Mike Gesicki, tight end 11. You know, here's the thing is that they have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle both being drafted as top 13 tight ends. Then we've got Mike Gesicki being drafted as a top 11 tight end, while Tua is being drafted as QB 16. That doesn't add up to me. Ooh. Like Tua yeah. would have to, like, for all those things to happen, Tua would end up as easily a top 12 quarterback. So I think that the guy that's going to end up having some targets siphoned away from him is Gesicki. Obviously they're going to use Hill. He's an absolute superstar, and Waddle was a superstar last season. So Gesicki kind of feels like the guy that's going to be left out.
So what do you think about, I mean, you touched on them briefly, like Tyreek Hill or even Devontae Adams. They went from Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes to now Tua and Derek Carr. Do you see that affecting their fantasy numbers at all, or are they just kind of quarterback proof as well?
I think those guys are going to be pretty quarterback proof. I mean, they're athletic freaks. I think that the thing that I think we're going to see partially is like, more so is that Aaron Rodgers is just going to be not as attractive as a fantasy asset, because it's just yeah. like every time Aaron Rodgers threw the ball, it was like Devontae Adams was there. And I just think he's like the yeah. type of guy that's, he's a magnet, and Derek Carr doesn't get enough credit, I think, in terms of like, you know, his abilities. He's kind of always just like a meh guy, like he's a guy, whatever. But certainly. I think that he can at least get Devontae Adams into that like top tier. He may not be the wide receiver one this season, but I think that he's going to end up as like a top five guy. So it doesn't feel super risky. Same with Hill. I mean, Tua has never had a complement of those of receivers like that. I mean, I don't even know like if there are a lot of, you know, two wide receiver duos like Hill and Waddle out there that are just going to be that strong. So in terms of just Tua, it is really make or break this season. Like if he can't get it done with these guys and the weapons that they've put around him, then it's all over.
It's all over for him. Okay. Let's talk sleeper picks. Who are your top sleepers for this season?
Sure. I've got a few as well. Tim Patrick, wide receiver 63, obviously a new quarterback, and wide receiver 63 is basically free. I mean, you are taking absolutely no risk on a guy that habitually is not taken seriously. I have this whole theory that it's because his name sounds like he's an accountant, and no one really
probably.
He's just not like a spicy type dude, but he's always putting up production that's really consistent. So especially in deep leagues, like he's going to be really valuable with Russell Wilson. I mean, there's a good chance that he finishes higher than Cortland Sutton, who's being drafted many, many, many rounds earlier. So he's a guy that I just feel very comfortable taking a shot on. Russell Gage, a wide receiver 42, we mentioned about Chris Godwin missing significant time. Also, no Antonio Brown. I mean, there's a lot of targets to be freed up. Rob Gronkowski is retired for now,
supposedly. Yeah,
maybe. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, any TB12 wielded receiver this cheap is going to have value. And then James Cook, RB43, he is a rookie, has fantasy football royalty in his blood. He is the brother of Dalvin Cook, and RB43 on a team that has just so little competition out of that backfield. It's Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, and the team clearly doesn't like Zach Moss. So they're going to be in a lot of positive game scripts. Obviously, he's going to be a little limited given that Josh Allen is going to take a lot of those goal line carries. But 43, it's pretty cheap, especially on a guy that was, you know, so explosive at the college level. And then Albert Okwuegbunam, I had to practice that one, by the way, tight end 14.
You did great. That's better than me.
Tight end 14, his ADP right now is skyrocketing. His his ADP previously was like in the 20s, even 30s. So he's someone that like maybe you could get a little bit cheaper in certain leagues. But yeah, Noah Fant is out of Denver and we've got a whole new quarterback situation. So I think that that'll be really great for him. He's just a guy that, you know, didn't get a lot of recognition last season because he's just kind of like, he was a second tight end behind Noah Fant, and he's just a guy that now he has a great opportunity. So tight end 14, it's pretty cheap. Like if you end up with George Kittle, you could pair him with Alberto or something like that. Someone like lower risk on that side.
All right. I love that. You know, the whole like offense sells tickets, but defense win games. I feel like in fantasy, it's like, you know, your number one sell tickets or win games, but your sleepers are what's going to win you the league. Do you agree?
I do agree. Yeah. I mean, it's like, if you happen to draft Davante Adams at wide receiver 2 and he finishes as the wide receiver 1, like that's just not really like a huge, like that's not going to win you your league, in my opinion, because Right. You've already expended that draft capital. But these guys that you can find, like, and like, these are just guys that I'm looking at right now. After week 1, we're going to have a whole new list of guys Right. That you can pick up on the waiver wire for super cheap. So, that's, like I said, that's how you win championships. It's being really keen in the waiver wire, being keen on sort of trades and everything. So, yeah, I mean, I think that that's how you win leagues with, like, guys that no one's heard of. I mean, think about it, like, 2016 or whatever, like, Michael Thomas's first big season. Like, no one really took him super seriously. Like, those are the guys that are going to vault you into that playoff spot and hopefully to a championship.
All right. Well, I'm definitely going to try to draft all of these sleepers that you gave me. All right, moving on to Team Snapshot. We've got a Carolina Panthers fan here, so that makes it all that more exciting. So let's take a look at this snapshot right now. Earlier in the show, I said that the over is worth the play now that they've acquired Baker Mayfield. Samantha, are you going on the over, the under 6.5 wins for the Panthers this season?
I am going on the over. This is not a homer pick in any way because, to be honest,
I love a homer pick.
I thought that the team was going to tank, honestly, and end up with Bryce Young or something like that. But look, okay, they have 5 wins in each of the last 3 seasons. Not exactly inspiring a ton of confidence, but you've got to think that the upgrades this offseason are worth at least 2 wins. I mean, we've got Baker Mayfield. We've hopefully got more gas in the tank for Christian McCaffrey. I know we'll get to that, but they've also done a lot in terms. I mean, they got EK Ekwonu in the first round, who's going to be a great tackle. They also made 2 major O-line acquisitions in free agency, which they really needed it. PFF ranked their offensive line 31st in the NFL. Definitely need some help there, but they've got a lot of the pieces. They've just never really had a chef to put them together. So hopefully that's something that Baker Mayfield can bake up. But
let Baker cook, I guess, yeah, or let Baker bake.
Baker bake or whatever. they have a lot of the pieces, like I said, to be a team that at least reaches 500. I don't think that they're contending for a playoff spot, but they also have a pretty weak division. So I feel like they could muster a few wins out of, you know, the division alone.
I think so too. And also, if we think about that division, when Tom Brady leaves pretty soon too, you know, the Panthers might be sitting a little bit prettier there in years to come. But let's talk comeback player of the year. With the acquisition of Baker Mayfield to the Panthers, they now have 2 serious candidates for comeback player of the year. Christian McCaffrey is 4th at +900 and Baker is 5th at +1,000. Who is better for the Panthers to bet on comeback player of the year? You going McCaffrey or Mayfield?
This one was really tough because, in my opinion, like, McCaffrey really needs to stay healthy to be a real contender for this, whereas Baker needs to be healthy and do better, better than we've ever really seen him. That said, 4 of the last 4 comeback players of the year have been quarterbacks, 10 of the last 14. Ooh. You have to go all the way back to 2004 to find a running back that was Willis McGhee of the Buffalo Bills that won the comeback player of the year. So it is not an easy award to win as a position player, I think. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, as a quarterback, you get more visibility. And you, it, a lot,
right.
Like, people see wins as kind of, I mean, team wins are not a quarterback stat, but people see that correlation way better. So certainly feels like a guy that, you know, I hope that Baker Mayfield, like, he has more playing time and his better days are still to come. So I would probably go Baker here.
Okay, I agree with everything you said. I'm going to go McCaffrey at plus 900 here. You want to talk about fantasy all-stars. Samantha, McCaffrey in the 2019 season was absolutely unstoppable. I mean, he's practically a cheat code. I also just kind of root for, like, the Klay Thompson comeback after having 2 years of serious injuries. And he's so good looking and he's so good that, you know, at plus 900, I think it's worth a little sprinkle on Christian McCaffrey. Call me crazy.
I don't think that's crazy at all. It's so funny that you mentioned he's cute. Yeah, I mean, he and his girlfriend are some of the most attractive people in the entire world. By the way, I know Olivia Culpo. I went to school with her. We do Pure Bar together sometimes in Rhode Island. So yeah, she is a wonderful human being. So I love that whole marriage of things.
I love that. They look so loved up on Instagram all the time, too. They look like the absolute cutest couple in the world. And I think she had a hard time with her last boyfriend, the Patriots guy that we won't speak about, Danny, because we don't like the Patriots on this show. Just kidding, Pats fans. Some of us do. But good. I'm glad that she's happy. And I'm glad that they're a good couple. So let's talk more about Christian McCaffrey here. So he's played just 10 games combined over the past two seasons, and the expectations have dropped. He's listed at plus 3,500 to lead the league in rushing. That's tied for the 13th highest odds. Speaking from both a betting and fantasy standpoint, what are your expectations for him this season?
Yeah, I mean, so let's just address the, like, rushing yards thing first. I mean, even in McCaffrey's best year, 2019, he only rushed for 1,387 yards. That was third behind Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb. At his peak, he is not a pure rusher. He doesn't even have that necessarily style and size to be that type guy, but he crushed the competition in that year in terms of all-purpose yards, tacking on another 1,000 yards through the air, 403 total touches. They use him like crazy. Next closest was Ezekiel Elliott with, 300 fewer yards. So, I mean, obviously he's just a guy that can do it all when he's healthy. So that's really the million-dollar question, or I don't know, $60 million question, whatever he's getting paid these days. But it's been, like you said, 2019, he was a cheat code. And then since then, I want to just pull my hair out talking about him because I did the last few seasons. I've said, obviously 2020, he was the no-brainer number one pick. He did not deliver in 2020. And then 2021, I saw that menagerie of injuries, and I figured, these are not the type of injuries to just, like, linger, right? They were kind of weird things. It was like an ankle sprain, a shoulder sprain, and like a little bit of a glute sprain, like strain or something like that. So I was like, that's not like an ACL. And honestly, if the Panthers had been competitive even a little bit in that season, maybe he would have come back faster. But the Panthers don't care about your fantasy team. Just remember that. So certainly
it's rude.
I know, so rude. So certainly has been really frustrating. From a fantasy perspective, he's being drafted as a top three guy in half PPR. So that's very lofty. It's not just fantasy people that think that highly of him. His over-under and scrimmage yards is almost 1,600 yards. That would be the third highest listed right now behind Jonathan Taylor and Najee Harris. Austin Eckler wasn't listed for some reason, but that is an absolutely huge number. I kind of calculated it back using his yards per touch and implied touch total and certain things like that. So basically I put it that he has to be healthy, play at least 12 and a half games for this number to hit. And, kind of translates into that fantasy realm. If he's in that 1,600 scrimmage yard range, he'll probably end up as a top three running back, pay off at that lofty price. So if you think he's going to be healthy for 13 games, I say he's a really good pick. Otherwise, if you are really concerned about those injuries, there are a lot of guys that I'm like, they're great. They just won't end up on my team. And maybe it's
because he's one of them.
He It's because he's burned me a little bit. But I will say this. Yeah. Like, there is no player, I can't think of a player right now, really, like, that's a good player that, like, I'm just like, oh, no, they will never be on my team. Because for the right price, they will be. That's the thing is that, like, you know, you have to put aside those like, personal things. Because if they're the best player available, it doesn't matter that you know, Nick Chubb ran out of the at the 1 yard line during your fantasy championship. Oh my goodness! Yeah. I made a whole tweet about like my. Do you remember that meme that was like my fall plans and the Delta variant?
Yes, the Delta variant was
him running out at the 1 yard line. But yeah, I mean, like those things can obviously stick with you, and like you'll probably tell that story all off season. But then, like, if you can end up with that guy at a really good price, then you kind of have to go that way.
I completely agree. All right, Samantha, thank you so much for joining us today. Let the people know where to find you on social. And then I also know you have a couple podcasts and radio appearances as well.
Sure, yes. So I am most active on Twitter. I am at SamanthaNFL there. So definitely follow me there. It's a weird stream of consciousness. Thoughts. It's not just football is what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of like mountain pictures and food pictures, but hopefully it is a fun experience. Yeah. Follow me for those mountain pictures. And I'm on Instagram at S Praviti. That's S and then my last name. I have a lot of written work on actionnetwork.com. I do a weekly podcast during the season on the Fantasy Flex podcast in the off season and then during the season that ramps up a little bit more. Like I said, if you are in the Colorado area, apparently the station reaches all the way to Arkansas, but if you are in the Colorado area and would like to listen to some DFS picks every Thursday on KOA AM 850, that's where I give those out. And that's pretty much it, I think. But yeah, stay tuned for more.
Stay tuned for more, Samantha. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Moxie Bets is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, now it's time for my mocks locks of the day for the MLB slate today. First up, I'm looking at the Guardians money line versus the Royals. This is at plus 105. So Cleveland is coming up off of just getting swept by the Tigers. Not so great, but they're going up against the Royals, who are one of the worst home teams this season. They are 14-25 at home on the season, losing four of their last five home games. They've got Aaron Civale on the mound tonight. He's averaging nearly nine strikeouts per nine innings as of late. And on the other side, we've got Brady Singer, who has been struggling. He's allowed eight home runs in his last six starts. Feels like a good get back spot for the Guardians. So I'm going to take this at plus 105. All right, for my second bet, I'm taking the Dodgers run line -1.5. This is at plus 100, even money. We got Mookie Betts back on the lineup tonight, and the Dodgers have been on absolute fire ever since. They won four of their last five games. They're 8-2 straight up in their last 10 games. Almost all of those wins have come by come by more than two runs. The Chicago Cubs are 0-6 straight up in their last six games versus the Dodgers. I obviously think the Dodgers are going to win this game. The money line is a little bit too juicy, which is why I took them on the run line, minus the 1.5. It's their last homestand of the first half of the season. The Cubs are completely outmatched here. I think it's going to be a blowout, so I'm going to take them on that run line. And kind of coinciding with that, I'm taking Tyler Anderson with the Dodgers over 5.5 strikeouts today. That's at plus 111. So Anderson is averaging below this strikeouts this season so far. He's at 4.87 Ks per game. But the Cubs are awful against left-handed pitchers. The last 14 games versus lefties, the K percentage is nearly 30% with the Cubs, which is pretty bad. Tyler had seven strikeouts in five innings versus the Cubs last May. I think it's a good spot for Tyler, so I'm going to take him over 5.5 Ks. All right, to recap, I'm taking the Guardians money line versus the Royals, the Dodgers on the run line minus 1.5, and Tyler Anderson to go over 5.5 strikeouts. All right, this was Moxie Betts presented by Caesars Sportsbook. We'll see you next week.